Sang this song last week, He Shelters Me in a Time of Storm. I'm going to make a little reference to last week, but this week what I want to talk about mindsets. It seems to be a word that comes to mind quite often. As I'm working in the community and I'm gathering with different groups, and I'm learning that, you know, different mindsets that people have cause us to act in certain ways. And you know, if you think about culturally, a lot of different cultures, you know, around the world, let alone here in this city, you know, people do things because of the mindset that they have. And we as a church, you know, we do things, you know, because of a mindset that we have. And I hope that mindset is a mindset that God has put in there, and it's powerful and it's life-giving, and we find peace and hope in that. But I find all too often that that's not the case. I believe that the church should be experiencing a whole lot more joy, and it's not based on circumstance. I believe that the church should be experiencing a whole lot more peace, and it's not whether or not we're going through a storm or a trial. It's really based on the mindset that we have. And part of last week's message, when I get to it, you'll I can't wait to share that example with you, but you'll start to see. Mindsets. The definition for mindset, it's a particular way of thinking, a person's attitude or a set of opinions about something. It's a mental attitude or inclination, or it's a fixed state of mind. Now, mindsets are not like certain things that never change in our lives, you know. Mindsets are something that can be changed, can be formed, if we're willing to be open, if we're willing to have our ears open and hear, and our eyes open to see. You know, I'm thinking of the Pharisees, how they had a particular mindset, and they were set in their mind that Jesus Christ was not the Messiah. And they missed the whole thing because they weren't willing to change their mindset. And so today, I want to talk about mindsets a little bit. And before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts and change our lives, and that you will help us to have godly mindsets. Sorry. Father, bless each one that's here. Bless your word. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's all right. A little chilly down there. tell the ladies to put on a video and get you dancing. It'll warm you right up. Here's the thing I find interesting. Most people are unaware that it's their own mindset that drives the way they see life, and that it can be changed. Are you aware of that? Do you even think about that? One of the things that I like to do on occasion is really think about what's going on around me. Think about what's going on inside of me. Think about, you know, how I see things and how I see other people. And it's a good thing every now and again. Again, I say this all the time. Self-examination. You learn a lot about yourself if you really do an honest self-examination. And so hopefully this morning we're all aware that the way we see life and whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's really what drives us is our mindset. And if you're not happy with your mindset, or if you're not happy with the life around you, that can change. I learned this when I was 16 years old. I've shared this story many times lately. Some of you have heard it already. I was 16 years old. I had just gone, some girl just broke up with me, and I was all depressed, and I was sitting on top of a hill in my car watching the sunset. You know, I was just doing this, you know, this whole woe is me type of thing. And I was depressed, and I was down. And it occurred to me, as I'm watching the sunset, it occurred to me, you know what? I don't have to feel this way if I don't want to. I made a decision that day that changed my life. And I've had people comment through the years about how I look at life. I made a decision that day. You know what? I can either sit here and sulk and be sad, or I can choose to let it go and start over and be happy about my life. And I remember starting up the car and driving off of that hill and going off and finding some friends of mine that loved me, some friends of mine that would encourage me, and choosing to have a good time, to enjoy my life. And ever since that day, I've had that mindset that, you know what? I choose where joy comes from for me. I choose how much peace I have in my life. I choose. I have this mindset that, you know what? Life is good. And since then, that was before I knew Jesus. After coming to know Jesus, wow, how powerful that concept is. Because in God, there's peace, and there's joy, and there's life, and there's love, and there's all these good things. And so with that mindset that occurred to me when I was 16 years old, I was able to take that mindset and read in God's Word how amplified that could be with following Christ. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I don't get sad at times. I'm not going to pretend that, you know, I've never had things that have hurt me. But you know what? I like to maintain that mindset, even in the midst of the struggles, not to allow things to cause me to not experience God's joy in this life. And so, I've got 9 signs. I got this off the internet. You can look it up. You can do a little Google, how to change a mindset. And I came across a few things. I want to read some stuff here for you. Where's my thingy? There's 9 signs it's time to change your mindset. And I'm going to read. I just put the list up there, but I'm going to read some description of what those are. Hopefully it won't take too long. The first one, you see nothing but negatives. If you see nothing but negatives, it's time to change your mindset. It says, and again, this is offline. I don't have the website written down, so God forgive me for copyright infringement or whatever have you. But I think anything online is kind of free for the taking, isn't it? I'm going with that. You see nothing but negatives. If you were determined to get joy out of the present moment, you would learn to focus on the positive. What it takes is not paying attention to negative thoughts, yours or anyone else's. You know, that's a sad thing, too, when you grab onto somebody else's negative thoughts. Wow, that'll bring you down. Disregarding negative thoughts isn't about burying your head in the sand. It's the focused act of not allowing negativity to fog your vision and dominate your experience of the present. This moment is never enhanced or helped in any way by negativity. Even though we as human beings are programmed to think our negative thoughts, worries, and fears serve some beneficial function. When we deeply examine a negative thought, we see that negativity doesn't serve any benefit. Focusing on negativity doesn't make anyone a better person, nor does doing so help us make any bit of progress. In fact, the truth is quite the opposite. Do not dwell on the negative. Negative thoughts will tear you down. Period. If that's your mindset, you see nothing but the negatives, it's time to change. Number 2, you are relentlessly resisting your truth. Listen to this. Watch yourself talk. See if you can catch yourself consciously or subconsciously complaining about your present life situation, what other people have said or done, your past, your surroundings, or even the weather. Anybody complain about the weather this morning? As soon as I went out that door, I was like, whoa, that's cool. To complain is always non-acceptance of reality. It invariably carries with it a tremendous amount of negativity and stress. When you complain, you transform yourself into a victim. When you proactively take positive action, on the other hand, you are in power. And that's what I decided when I was 16 years old. I'm going to take power over how I feel. I wasn't going to complain that I lost the love of my life at 16 years old. No, I chose to look at the positive and go after the joy in life. So if something is truly bothering you, change your situation by taking action or consciously letting it go. Leave the situation or accept it. All else is foolishness. Remind yourself again and again, if you must, when something cannot be changed, you must change your attitude about it. That's not always easy, is it? But sometimes we get into situations where, you know what, I can't change this, but I can change me. I can change my thoughts about it. After you have done what you can do, happiness is allowing yourself to be perfectly okay with the what is, rather than wishing for and worrying about what is not. What is what's supposed to be, or it would not be. The rest is just you arguing with life. You understand that? When you're complaining about a present situation, and especially if it's something that's out of your control, you're arguing with life. It's like, you know what? This is the way it is. Let's live it with joy. If we can, change the situation. If we can't, then let's learn how to cope. Of course, with Jesus Christ, and live in joy. Number three, you have a tendency to blame others. Again, these are things. If these are things that you catch yourself doing often, understand it's time to change your mindset. Letting go gives us emotional freedom, and emotional freedom is the only condition for happiness. If in your heart you still cling to anything, anger, resentment, jealousy, etc., you cannot be free. And doing so doesn't change the heart of the other people, it only changes yours. Know this, put down the sword and stop attacking others in your head. How many battle in your head with other people all day? Stop doing that. Put down the sword, stop attacking others in your head. The strong person is not the best fighter. Rather, the strong person is the one who controls himself or herself when they're angry and grows from it. You are, number four, you are passionately worried about everything. Worrying does nothing but steal your joy and keep you busy doing nothing. Think about that for a moment. It's like using your imagination to create things you don't want. You need, let me say that again. Using your imagination to create things you don't want. That's what worrying does, right? You need to stop getting yourself into situations in your head where all your options are potentially bad. Is that how we do that, don't we? Remember, it's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see. There are always two ways to address your present situation. Each way is like a brick, which can be used as a stepping stone, or which can be picked up in a worried frenzy and used to shatter your window of hope and happiness. The bottom line is that everything on the outside doesn't need to be perfect or make sense right now. Stop worrying, focus within, and be mindful. In your mind, you can go anywhere you imagine. And where your mind consistently goes, the rest of your life will gladly follow, will gradually follow. Think about that for a moment. Where do you go in your mind? Pay attention to where you go in your mind. If you're always going to worry, if you're always going to negativity, if you're always going, it's time to change your mindset. Number five, your expectations are stressing you out. Drop the needless expectations. Appreciate what is for a moment. It doesn't matter if your glass is half empty or half full, just be thankful that you have a glass and that there's something in it. Again, I didn't write this. I got this off the internet. But that's good. Choosing to be positive and having an appreciative attitude influences everything you do. The magnitude of your happiness and success will be directly proportional to the magnitude of your thoughts and how you choose to think about things. Nothing ever works out exactly the way you want it to. Has anybody ever had that? Does everything always work out the way you expect it to, or the way you want it to? Hardly ever. Okay, so what are we going to learn from that? Are we going to allow that to cause us to have pain and frustration? Or are we going to realize, you know, remember I talked about last week, there's more storms coming, right? Are we going to just face the reality and learn how to live with joy through the issues? Don't let what you expected to happen blind you from the goodness happening all around you. Even if it doesn't work out at all, it's still worth it if it made you feel something new and if it taught you something new. Number six, you secretly want a pain-free life. I don't think that's a secret. I think we all want a pain-free life. Pain is a pesky part of being human, but it's vitally important. And this is something that's hard to grasp. It strengthens the mind, heart, and body. You can't grow strong. Listen to this. You can't grow strong, brave, or successful in this world if you've only had good things happen to you within the safe boundaries of your own little comfort bubble. You need real life experiences, and nothing ever becomes real until you experience it firsthand. Right? Honestly, life is very much like a game of chess. To win, you have to make a move, even when it's tough and things before didn't go exactly as planned. Knowing which move to make comes with insight and knowledge by learning the unexpected and often painful lessons that are accumulated along the way. Pain is very important to give us strength. You know, unfortunately, a lot of us, when pain comes, we allow it to tear us down. We allow it to knock us over and to blow us backwards. But what pain, I honestly believe that all of the trials of life are there to give us, to build us up, to help strengthen us, to draw us closer to God. You know the old phrase, no pain, no gain, right? If it was all pillows and roses, man, we would be the most fluffy, soft people that couldn't handle anything, right? Where am I? Number 7, you're never satisfied with what you have. Our stress and frustration is far greater when we have more than enough, but what even more than when we have almost nothing and want some. In other words, as human beings, we are less dissatisfied when we lack many things than when we endlessly seem to lack but one continuously changing thing. Details aside, the key is to want less and appreciate more. I was shoveling my driveway or my sidewalk this morning. I had a couple inches of snow on there. And for whatever reason, a thought went through my mind as I'm shoveling. And I'm going up the sidewalk, and this thought said to me, you know what? Everything I have, God gave me. And it gave me a warm spot in my heart. I'm like, you know, that's awesome. As I think about it, everything I have, God gave me. A lot of people get so hung up on what they can't have that they don't think for a second about whether they really want it. Ask yourself, are these things truly better than the things I already have? Or am I just conditioned to be unhappy with what I have? That's a mindset. In the end, happiness is an attitude of gratitude we act upon daily. We either make the best of the present or the worst of it. We either make ourselves miserable or happier and stronger. The amount of effort is the same. That's an interesting thought. I read an article from Julie Coleman, who comes. I wish she was here today. I was going to tell her how wonderful that was. She wrote an article about just her life. She lives a life of gratitude. She comes from a story, and I'm not going to tell her story. I'll let her tell that someday. But her background is pretty rough and beat up. And you know what? She realized that she could make some choices and change. She changed her mindset, and now she lives... If you ask a lot of people, you would look at her, you would think, wow, she's got a crazy, stress-filled life, but you know what? She loves every minute of it because she learned how to live out of a heart of gratitude for what she has. She changed her mindset. Number 8, it's been a while since you learned something new. The best remedy for being sad is feeling stuck and learning something new. That's the only thing that never fails, simply making progress and knowing it. Your body may grow old and frail. You may lie awake some nights listening to your past regrets. You may miss your only love. You may see the world around you overcome by toxic behaviors or know your respect has been trampled on by unfriendly faces. There is only one thing for healing that works every time, and that's to learn. Learn why the world around you zigs and zags and what fuels it. Learn what excites you and learn more about it. That's the only positive effort that a battered mind can never exhaust, never alienate, never be tortured by, never fear or doubt, and never dream of regretting. Learning is healing. You know, if you're in a situation where it's just like, wow, I just can't find it. I just can't get out of this low that I'm in. Go learn something new. Seek and search and find something new to learn. There's something new to learn every day. I love the idea that it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how successful you are, how unsuccessful you are, there's always something new to learn. Learning is healing. Just look at all the things there are to learn and get started. Number 9, you catch yourself living in the past. Again, these are all things that if this is you, it's time to change your mindset. Nostalgia is good and necessary state of mind sometimes. It's a way for all of us to find lessons in every life experience and peace in all which we have accomplished or even failed to accomplish. At the same time, though, if nostalgia precipitates intentions and actions to return to that fabled rosy-painted pastime, particularly in someone who believes her present life to be inadequate, then it's an empty state of mind, doomed to produce nothing more than frustration and even greater sense of unhappiness. Don't let the past steal your present. Amen. Could I get an amen on that? Don't let the past steal your present. How many of us have experienced wonderful church services and wonderful this and that? Way back in the day, church was just different. It was great and all that. It's like, where is it now? Well, you know what? That's in the past. Let's make today great. All right? You want good church service? You make it great. You make it good. How do we do that, Pastor? By falling more in love with Jesus Christ, by getting up and worshiping Him and spending time in prayer and talking about Him and getting other people excited about Him. It's on us. It's not on Him. Our joy in our church service is on us. Because guess what? He'll show up every time. He's here every time. He never left. He's probably up there in heaven saying, God, what happened? Remember what happened way back then? I'm still there. I'm still God. I'm still doing the same stuff. But our mindset got changed. Oh, a few people dwindled off. You know, if you look around this morning, there's less seats filled than there was a few weeks ago. Wasn't that wonderful? Well, you know what? This seat will be filled again. Let's not let a couple empty seats steal our joy. Amen? God is God. Don't let the past steal your present. Your past has not defined, deterred, or defeated you. It has only strengthened who you are today. Keep this in mind and press onward. Anyway, an effective mindset is one that makes the best use of available resources, your time, your energy, and your efforts, and uses them to create positive change. It's not about trying to do everything and be everything. It's making the very best of what you have while enjoying the process of living. Anyway, that's enough of that. Mindsets. If that's you, and I can share that with anybody if you'd like to have a copy of that, because I got it for free offline anyway. But do we need to change our mindset? Are we living life with the joy of the Lord? Do we have the peace that passes understanding? A lot of it has to do with our mindset. I want to show you something. Remember this? Last week. Remember last week's message? How many heard, oh my gosh, I'm in a storm and there's going to be more storms? After talking with people after last week's message, I heard two different sides. Some were like, wow, that was tough, really? I'm in the middle of a storm now, and as soon as this is over, there's going to be another one. And all that you see is all the waves and all the stuff all around the waves. But you know what? That's a mindset. There's another mindset. Apparently, I didn't do too good a job promoting the other mindset. The idea, see the lighthouse standing at the top there? Even though the storm's still going all around, we are still to be a light to the world, right? And the reason why that lighthouse is still standing there is because it's firm on the solid rock beneath it, and it can't be moved by the storm. Anybody hear that part of the message? I hope so, because I shared both parts. That's just a little example of different mindsets. I get excited when I see that, because I know that Jesus is with me. And when I'm standing on Him, my solid rock, I don't have to worry about the wind and the waves and the rain. It's always going to be there, yes, but it's not going to destroy me. My light is still going to shine, and my feet are still going to be planted on solid ground. So where do mindsets come from? Maybe if we have a little understanding of where mindsets come from, maybe we'll have a better understanding of how to change them. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, and of course it goes on, there's more lists, but what I want to focus on right there is from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. That's where it comes from. It comes from within. You know, we're looking at all the stuff around us, but you know what? Your mindset really comes from inside you. It's not about the circumstances around you. Well, who has control of what's inside of you? You do. Luke 24:38, he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" What he's saying there is, why do you have such a negative mindset? Why are you troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your heart? You know, that's a good question. And that kind of goes along with what I just shared about, you know, the signs that you might need a new mindset. Here the Word of God is kind of saying the same thing. Why are you troubled? What is it with these thoughts that's in your heart? You need to change those thoughts. He wouldn't have asked the question if those thoughts were intended to be there to destroy you. But he asked the question because none of us need to live with troubles in our heart. And so, that's where mindsets come from. Now, what's the problem with our thoughts that come from the heart? Well, Jeremiah tells us what the problem is. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so anyway, don't feel sad. Don't feel bad that, oh my gosh, I have this negative outlook look on life and I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to change my mindset. I'm the only one that's like, no, you're not the only one. We all have a wicked and deceitful heart inside of us. Every single one of us do. I'm sure that all those things that I talked about, those nine signs that you know, would let you know that maybe you need a different mindset, we have all experienced all of them. Sometimes multiple ones at a time. And this is the reason why. Because we were born in a fallen world. We have sin in our hearts, sin in our flesh. And it says our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So that's the problem. But here's the... Let's start moving toward the answer. Because I believe we're instructed by God to have godly, positive attitudes. Godly, positive mindsets. Look at Paul lifting up his word right there. That's the answer always. This verse, I have come to love this verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, right here, God's telling us, you need a new mindset. If you're thinking worldly thoughts, if you're thinking everything's negative, it's time for a transformation. In other words, God's saying, you know what? It is possible for you to change. And not only is it possible, but this is what I want you to do. Prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. How many like transformation? Yes. Transformation is good. You know, I get it with a lot of different things. You know, historical things. I'm thinking at the moment, I'm mindful of the Seneca knitting mills. Anybody know what the Seneca knitting mills is? Seneca Knitting Mills was there for years and years and years, and they considered it a historical place. Seneca Falls goes way overboard with the whole historical thing, and I get it, you know what? But that Seneca Knitting Mill is falling apart. It is crumbling to the ground, and they're going to sink millions and millions and millions of dollars in there to keep it the way it is. What? Wouldn't it be much more productive for the city or the town of Seneca Falls to have a transformation in that area instead of looking over there and seeing that old decrepit building that's fallen down? Transformation is a good thing. Holding on to the past isn't always a good thing. Put a new building there. Put a new factory there. Do something good. Do something positive. Do something that's looking forward instead of looking backwards. If the history of it is that great, then paint a picture on the side of the wall of the old building, but let's move on. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. We as believers of God, I believe we're commanded to live with a mindset that is positive, a mindset that is godly, a mindset that tells people, you know what, there is good in this world, and it comes from God, and that there is, you know, God's will is perfect. And that whether we're living in great poverty, whether we're living in great riches, whether we have pain in our bodies, whether we're perfectly healthy, whatever the case may be, God wants us to see the good. God wants us to see Him. And He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Great portion of Scripture. Brother of mine, pastor friend, is always talking about one of these verses. Starting in verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now hear this. There is no condemnation to who? Those who are in Christ Jesus. It's important that we live within the confines of Christ Jesus. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, today's the day. Go after Him. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, why do we got to walk according to the Spirit? Because the heart, the flesh, is deceitfully wicked above all things. And so we need to walk according to the Spirit of God. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I like that. Again, the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of death. Okay? What's the mindset there? The mindset is life, not death. But you know what? We get so focused on the law of sin and death that we forget that in Christ Jesus we have life. And life more abundantly, right? It's a mindset. Verse 3, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, listen to this, set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Where is your mindset? Is your mind set on the things of the flesh or is it set on the things of the Spirit? If it's set on the things of the Spirit, I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy your experience here on earth. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What's your mindset? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay. Let's look at verse 6 real quick. The carnally minded, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Ask yourself this question. Are you experiencing life and peace? If you're not experiencing life and peace, it's because your mindset is more on the flesh than it is the Spirit. Understand that? I believe God's word is true. I believe that if we will walk according to the Spirit, we will experience that life and peace. But if we're not experiencing that life and peace, then it can only mean one other thing. We're living according to the flesh. God doesn't want us to do that. Now, that word minded there, carnally minded or spiritually minded, it's what one has in the mind, the thoughts and the purposes. What is in our minds? What are the thoughts? What are the purposes in our minds? Do they bring forth life or do they bring forth death? And if we find that it's death that we're more consumed with, it's time to change our mindset. And so how can we change if we have a negative mindset? Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And so what's the answer if you have a negative mindset? Number one, trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And all those good things will follow. One more verse. Two verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection," or set your mindset, "on things above, not on things on the earth." You want joy in this life? You want to see things in a different way? Then set your affections or set your mindset on things that are above. Please stand with me this morning. Hopefully, I showed you the lighthouse with the storm, so just for your viewing pleasure, there's that fruitful bough over the still waters with the nice green leaves, amen? What's your mindset? Is it that storm around that lighthouse, or is it this tree near the still waters? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the life that you've given me.